Did you miss something? You might have. Get pods of your favorite ESPN 1000 shows at ESPNChicagoPodcasts.com.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
So much to talk about, and it's always great stuff with Michael.
And by the way, Mike is brought to you by HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland Saints big!
Michael, you know we're on when you're on TV, so I haven't been able to see what you thought about this, but yesterday, like, we were all things hockey because we were watching Q and the return there, but then in the middle of all this, like, a college basketball story just burst on the scene with the brawl at the end of the Kansas State game. Were you pretty passionate about your take on this?
I don't know. Relative to others, maybe a different take. I said that the kid D'Souza should be suspended for the rest of the year, period. Not indefinitely, for the rest of the year. And, you know, I disagree probably vehemently with my dear friends Jay Williams and Jalen Rose about, you know, they were saying sort of don't demonize them. Well, you know what? You got to stand over somebody in a college game like that, like you're Ali over Liston, then you, whatever you got coming in terms of punishment is you do. So my take might have been different from theirs on that. I saw them this morning on Get Up, and I love those guys. And we often agree, but we disagree on this.
Yeah, because I think Jay Will said something like, hey, we always say they're kids when, not to be too hard on them. So they're kids. And then now when it's a time to be, you know, you want to come down with a penalty, why doesn't the, hey, let's not be hard on them because they're kids in this,
no,
this
sorry,
point.
I'm being hard on them. I don't have any, I'm not beholden to whatever other opinions there might have been about let's not be hard on them. It's time to be hard on them. You stand over somebody, you trigger that kind of thing. He instigated that entire thing. Otherwise, there's no incident. It was instigated by one guy.
How do you feel about the whole unwritten rules stuff, you know, about the kid steals the ball? Okay, maybe other kids would, and Bruce Weber told them to, you know, kind of, hey, game's over, relax.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tommy. I'm tired of them because people seem to take it too far. I understand there might be an unwritten rule, but that doesn't give you the, right. You know, the last time we saw a kid dunk on people and then start turning around cursing at folks, he should be thrown out. He should have been thrown out for the next two games. And I mean, some of these kids now, and I don't know, I don't want to blame everything on AAU basketball, but there just seems to be a lack of respect. There's a lack of sportsmanship. There's a lack of any sort of understanding of something, anything bigger than themselves. And they're just self-indulgent little brats. And I'm tired of it.
I thought, and I think Sylvie felt the same way, I thought the appropriate way to handle it was, okay, he steals the ball in a game that's put away with 3 seconds. You know, the best way to kind of put him in his place is to follow him down the court and block
right.
his shot, and
that's
then
right.
and then go to your separate corners, and game's over.
Yeah, make a basketball play, go follow him.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But you know, there's no sort of savvy anymore. Yeah. There isn't, and part of it is kids don't play without adults. I mean, they don't play. There's not the amount of pickup basketball. I mean, part of the stuff you learned how to respect people based on the fact that you had to. You were playing in somebody else's neighborhood, or somebody was playing in yours. And, you know, you just figured it out and you got along. And now that's not the case. And it's bothersome.
Also on the court, Zion's returning tonight. It's an ESPN game. Do you believe that this is exactly what the NBA needs? Will he provide a ratings boost?
No. A mild one. And one among the really youngest of fans. He's not going to provide a boost among hardcore. You know, he's going to get the hardcore people who dropped out for whatever reason. He might among the people who watch college basketball and watch him play for Duke last year, but what percentage is that? How small is it? How large or small is that? I think the bigger hit to the ratings probably had to do with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they're on every night, and they're not the same franchise. And it's temporary. It's somebody's fault. They got injuries. But, I mean, I think that's a bigger hit that the NBA is taking. And by the way, Golden State's got to be on like Saturday night primetime games, like four in a row or four out of five.
Mike, who do you think Zion eventually is? I mean, are we going to see more? Do you think that he, you know, gets away from this injury, he moves on, he's a brilliant superstar in the league? Or you think because of how he plays, his size, that this may be something that follows him throughout his career?
Man, I hope not, Tommy. I hope that he's able to sort of jettison that stuff and launch his career. I don't think it'll be like any person we've ever seen. You know, I mean, there's some things that he maybe remind us of a young Charles Barkley, but then there are other places that he plays, literally spots on the floor he plays that Charles never wanted to, and Charles wasn't going to because that's not how the game was played. I think that's going to come into play. I just wonder if guys like Zion and Jokic, these guys are 300-pound bodies meant to float around the top of the three-point arc? Are they meant to be out there cutting and shifting and digging? And I don't know. I mean, I asked trainers and physicians about this now when I go on the road, and a lot of them say, they shake their heads and they go, no, they weren't meant to do this. I mean, think about some players that we watched over the years who played inside. So now, if Bill Laimbeer, 6'11", 300 pounds, if Bill Laimbeer came along now, you know what he'd be playing with his shot?
The four.
He'd be playing a four, and he'd be stretching the floor. And he'd have to run around the perimeter. I mean, are his knees and quads and his tendons, are they meant to take that? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I suspect the answer is no. But just, I'm just picking him out. But did there be dozens of kids? How would Charles play now? I haven't even asked Charles that. We watch games together all the time. How would Charles play now? Where would he play? Where on the floor would he play? And what would that mean for his body?
You know, one thing we were doing yesterday when we were talking about Q and we were talking about fan favorites and Mount Rushmores and stuff like that, we brought up Scottie Pippen and talking about positionless basketball and like where would he rank now in the top, like, because he was in the top 50 at the 50-year anniversary. Now there are more people. And the one thing that I said to Waddle is at least I would hope this, I'm biased, but is the appreciation for Scottie well beyond the numbers because he was a man ahead of his time? Because almost every NBA player plays like the way he played back then.
Yeah, he would be now. Look, they list. I just voted in the All-Star balloting for media last night, and I was glad that Doncic was in the guard category. Because I don't care if he's 6'8", 225 pounds. He's a guard. He's a point guard. He's got the ball. He's making the plays and making the decisions like a quarterback on the floor in a basketball game. Scottie did that. Granted, Scottie didn't do it all the time like Luka is. Scottie did it first, obviously, in concert with Michael, and then in concert with Tony Kukoc.
Right.
So they were, the Bulls were 25 years ahead of the rest of the sport in doing that. And so I think that Scottie, I've been saying for years, I say it whenever I'm working with him, I say it when I'm not. Scottie Pippen was the most underappreciated player of his time. And we know he won the 6 titles. You can quantify it. It doesn't mean you appreciate it. Scottie was the second best defender in pro basketball behind Michael. They were the two best defenders. And so, you know, you think about it, who else has that? Okay, Paul George scores more, but he ain't the playmaker Scottie is. I think Paul George is averaging about 3.5 assists a game. Scottie was a great, 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 great player.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at.
Mike, speaking of voting for the All-Star game, did you vote Zach LaVine in on the East?
I did not. I'll tell you who my guards were in the East. You know, you can pick two guards and three front court players.
Okay.
My front court players in the East were Embiid, Antetokounmpo, and who am I leaving out of the East? There's some obvious.
Did you mention Jimmy?
Jimmy was right. Jimmy. Because you know what? Jimmy, come on. That team is in second place in the East. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Who had that? Jimmy's responsible for that. He plays both ways.
So do you think Zach LaVine, who's the third leading scorer in all of the NBA, and the I think there's only three guys ahead of him. 13th leading scorer in the league. And I believe there's only three guys in the East that average more points per game. I'm not saying he should be a starter.
He should be on the team.
Should be on the team.
I hope he can, if I tell you what, I'm not going to put him on the team ahead of Derrick Rose.
That's what we were asking fans.
And my guards are Trae Young, who I can't believe. But Trae Young's numbers are insane.
Yeah.
His numbers are cartoonish. We're talking about a kid averaging 28.8 points a game. And then he's averaging like 9 assists a game.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to.
I believe he's in the top five. Isn't he in the top five in scoring and assists?
And
Doncic are both in that category.
You have to put him in. You have to put him on. You don't have to. I did. And then I put my Kemba was my other guard. I think the Celtics deserve, given their record and the way they played the first half, I think the Celtics deserve a starter. And I, again, you heard my front court guys, and I had Butler ahead of both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So, but I would hope Zach LaVine makes it. But there are a lot of people. Look, Malcolm Brogdon is the lead guard on a team that lost its best player, Victor Oladipo, and they stayed afloat. Why? Largely because of Malcolm Brogdon. Yes, Sabonis has played well. But Malcolm Brogdon, who could also – I thought about making him one of my starters, guards, backcourt starters in the East. Derrick Rose's story may be the best – one of the three or four best basketball stories in the league.
You want to see him with Kawhi or with LeBron?
You mean if he
gets traded, yes.
I don't know that the Clippers need what he does. The Lakers do. The Lakers need Derrick Rose. They need a playmaker. They know it. I mean, I was just with the Lakers the other night. That's the one thing they need. And first of all, they can appropriately space the floor with Kuzma, and actually LeBron can play off the ball. And here's the other thing. LeBron would love playing with Derrick Rose. First of all, he loves Derrick Rose. Over the years, no matter how tough their battles were, what do you hear LeBron say when he's asked about Derrick Rose? Guys have been in awe of Rose. First, because of his just sheer talent at that size and the things he was able to do in his first 3 years in the league. And now, because of his perseverance and because of his toughness, and because who comes back like this? He's doing everything he ever did better. Not as many minutes. Not with the same dependence, because the team's not depending on him, because he's not playing for contender. But Derrick's never shot this good a percentage from 2-point range. He's never had this good a percentage from three. He's assisting more. His passing's gotten better. The kid is better at everything. It's a wonderful story. And I know I would get teary-eyed if they announce in that All-Star game and from Chicago. But they're not going to get to announce the starting lineup, but I think they introduce all the All-Stars individually anyway.
Right, right.
I mean, come on. It's just a great story.
And then when he gets into the game, I think that would be a good moment, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the Lakers, and I'm not going to complain if he goes to the Clippers, but they sort of – and aren't he and what's his name? Chicago's own.
Patrick Beverley?
Are he and Patrick Beverley pretty tight?
I don't know.
I think they are. And used to work out together, so I think they are pretty tight. But wow.
It would be amazing, wouldn't it, for him to win a title in LA after all the expectations
everything,
and everything.
How about if he won one with LeBron after the way that
was? I don't know, All right, Michael, hang in there. I got a couple of things. I want to know what you would tell the guy who did not vote for Derek Jeter. That and a lot more coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Michael Wilbon joins us each and every Wednesday, 5 o'clock, right here on ESPN 1000. So at this time exactly, 24 hours ago, Wilbon, we were watching the TV. We had Dan Plesak on, and sure enough, we got the news that Jeter got in. But there's always that one look at me guy who wants to be cute and didn't vote for Jeter. Why do you believe this guy did not vote for Jeter? And what would you tell him?
I have no idea who it is. I have no idea what he's thinking, and I don't care. I really, really don't. I think this has become a media story only, that nobody cared about this stuff 30 years ago, not even in media, because nobody ever was unanimous, ever. I mean, if Mays and Root and Gehrig and Aaron and guys weren't unanimous, it just wasn't a story. And now it's become one because everybody wants to get on the person who goes the other way. I don't care about that person. I think that I'm not going to say the person was an idiot. I don't know what. Like, I would just say, what are you thinking? What is it that you think you're doing by not voting for Derek Jeter?
Well, then that's why, Mike, I would ask them. And by the way, the kid from Kansas, D'Souza, got 12 games. They're announcing
not
guys
the
suspended.
Season, 12 games.
Not enough.
Yeah, James Love gets 8 games. Antonio Gordon, 3. David
McCormick, 2.
Yeah.
D'Souza, not enough the rest of the season.
So, doesn't it compromise the entire? I mean, it's just one person, but does it then compromise the integrity of the entire ballot? Because how can anyone sit down and say it's a simple yes or no question when you go over your ballot? Is Derek Jeter a Hall of Famer? And if you vote no, your ballot stinks. You're pooping on the process.
I agree that I would even probably ridicule a person for not voting for Jeter. I mean, where does it say in any vote that it has to be unanimous?
No, but you're not voting for that. Yeah, you're just voting yes or no.
Listen,
is he a Hall of Famer?
Here's the other thing.
But then why even have a vote? If you just want to make him a Hall of Famer, the Hall of Famer could just pass an ordinance.
Well, but
if they were not having a vote, if anybody votes the other way, he's an idiot.
Here's my point, though, because if you've got a guy like Walker, okay? And you decide that you don't think he's Hall of Fame caliber and you don't vote for him. I get it. That's subjective. You can't look at Derek Jeter and say, subjectively, I don't think Derek Jeter belongs in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you, but then what's the cutoff? How do we know what that is? Walker, there could be some debate, but could there not be any debate? I mean, so how many players in there do we not have debate about? I mean,
well, there's one that shouldn't have been debated.
Right. Yeah. And then, Michael, Waddle and I are very big on this, like you said about Willie Mays and Tom Seaver and all the great Hank Aaron, who the idiots did not vote in unanimously.
Who's the jackass that doesn't vote for Hank Aaron?
I agree wholeheartedly with you.
We don't want anyone to vote no because of what happened with them.
Yeah, to me, you move on. They're in. They're in the Hall of Fame.
I know, but this sounds like something that would really piss you off. I'm surprised. I thought that this is something that would really stick with you because, listen.
This is journalistic ethics.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
No, because if it was journalistic ethics, we wouldn't be voting anyway. Journalists shouldn't even be getting involved in this. They shouldn't. The Washington Post has a rule against it where I worked for 100 years. And so journalists shouldn't be involved in it anyway. So that would take us out. I agree with you. I would. Like if this was Don Wilbon and I found out he was the one who didn't vote for him.
Oh, you're pushing him down.
I would be standing outside his door. I'd be sitting on his doorstep.
Yeah.
And he'd be sitting on mine.
Yeah.
And so fundamentally I agree with that. But I just think that to spend any time devoting it to this person, whoever this fool was, it's a waste of time.
You know what? Listen, trust me, I didn't lose any sleep over it last night. But as I like to say as well, Mike, we're not farmers, okay? We're sports talk radio guys. So we're not talking about, the corn crop. We're talking about,
God, we don't deal with the corn crop.
This jackass who doesn't think that Jeter's in the hall. Really, I don't care that much. It's just silly. It's just really silly to me.
It is. We agree on the bottom line.
That's cool.
I just think that, this guy, I can't devote any time to this person.
Can we also agree that the Chiefs 49ers matchup is ultimately the best matchup for Super Bowl 54?
Yes. This is the best matchup we could have this year. Sorry, Baltimore. This is the best matchup we could have. And normally, I don't ever bet against great defense. I'm from Chicago. What do I know about quarterbacks and offense? I don't know anything about that. Still, so I'm a defense guy, but Kansas City's got so many weapons, man. I just don't know if the 49ers can defend all that.
And if Jimmy G can match all that, if they do have to score a lot of points.
If they have to, that's, right. So, and if he has to, I don't know that he can, but I just don't know if they can stop it.
Here's a question I asked Waddle. This is another question under the category, we're not farmers. This is the stuff that I sit at home and weep about. So, and it usually has to do with a beverage or two. So I'm watching Mahomes, and as we know, the Bears could have had Mahomes. And I... So this isn't a question. God. This isn't a question if Mahomes would be as good in a Bears uniform. Let's just assume he was. Let's assume that Patrick Mahomes had the exact same career in Chicago that he's had in Kansas City. That in his first year, he did not play. In his second year, he won the MVP, and he went for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards thrown. And then in his third year, he took the team to the Super Bowl with a chance to win. Michael asked Waddle this question. Would right now, currently, would Patrick Mahomes be the most popular athlete we've ever had in Chicago next to Michael?
No. No. No, he would still be behind Walter. I'm not old enough to remember, and popularity was a different thing 50 years ago. You'd not be behind Ditka.
I but say, you know, you and I, Walter. Mike and I are like, you and I see these things. I said the same thing. I said, listen, I really first blush want to say yes, but like the environment is different today with social media and jersey sales and everything else. I wasn't here when Walter was at his prime, but I can't imagine there was a more popular player than Walter.
There wasn't. I mean, Walter was as popular as Ernie Banks. And I was not old enough for the height of Banks' popularity, which would have been 58, 59 back-to-back MVPs. I was born then. I was only cognizant of Banks and popularity from like 66, 67, when he was sort of starting to fade and the Cubs were just becoming good. But Banks would have been more popular, even though he didn't win, because you didn't know he wasn't ever going to win. And it depends on whether Mahomes wins. But Mahomes is not there with Peyton. He's not. He wouldn't have been there. Now, if he won a Super Bowl this year and continued on for three or four more years, and he was a guy you could see about town and that sort of thing, would he surpass Patrick Kane? Because the Bears are bigger than the Blackhawks. But, you know, it's funny. I tell you, we just talked about a guy who was massively underrated and appreciated. I mean, Scotty should have been more popular than he was.
Well, you could have tipped a little bit more.
Scotty has become more popular now. Don't you find? When Scotty walks into the United Center now, when Scotty's on there, I think people what they realize 25 years removed is that Scotty was never accorded the status he should have been because it was all given to Michael. All of it.
And remember, Michael, there was some controversy. He wanted to be traded at one time. He sat down for the 1.8 seconds.
Yeah.
So that hurt at the
time.
All
those things contributed, Sylvie. You're right about that. But no, you look when you go to – so when Matthew and I have gone to games essentially every year at Soldier Field, and he is freaked out as a kid, of course, who's a prisoner of now. He says to me, Dad, look at the 34 jerseys even now. And I said, that's right, buddy. Make no mistake who the most popular Chicago Bear is of all time.
Right.
Make no mistake about it. And he says, well, there's some 51s. I said, yeah, there's some 51s. There's some. And there's some 50s. Some. Some. And there's some 40s. I tend to wear 40 as much as I wear 34. That's a function of age. But he's freaked out by how many Walter Payton jerseys there are. And I said, because, you know, all of us are not a prisoner of today. All of us are not glued to only our cell phones deciding on what the menu of today is, you know, who's 26 years old and popular. Not all of us are given over our whole lives to who's the Travis Scott of the moment. And, like, he just stares at it. He can't believe it, but he's made note of it, and I'm glad he has. I'm glad my kid has made note of this as somebody who comes and watches sporting events in Chicago. And it's quite interesting. But, yeah, I couldn't watch that game the other night without thinking about Patrick Mahomes and the Bears and the whole thing. It just made me ill.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah. And he's so likable.
He is.
Michael, great stuff. We will talk next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good, you guys. Be well.
There you go. Michael Wilbon is going to join us next week. We'll be at the Super Bowl next week. Wednesday,
right.
Thursday, Friday, we're going to be broadcasting from Miami. And speaking of the Super Bowl, Waddle, tomorrow... be listening. Spare a Square starts.
Oh.
It's our contest. We're going to have a big prize.
Big prize.
We're going to do a square pool, just like your normal Super Bowl square pool. Abdallah, is it going to be running every quarter? Are there going to be winners? We're going to get two numbers, one for the Chiefs and one for the 49ers. And if your numbers hit, you're a winner, or is this just post at the end of the game?
No, we have prizes for the end of the first, at halftime, third quarter, and the end of the game, not to be confused with the end of the fourth quarter, in case it goes into overtime, as it is the end of the game.
Which means you could be a multiple
winner.
We did. Correct?
Last year, I believe, someone won the first and second quarter prize, first and halftime prize.
My wife won multiple times at our Super Bowl party, $600.
That was cash,
That was cash money.
So starting tomorrow, we're going to be giving away 100 of our listeners a square in our square pool contest, Spare a Square. So be listening tomorrow for your chance to win. We're all winners when Mark Gene Greco's in the First Midwest Bank studio, and that's next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Friday, Martin Greco joins us. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
I'm thinking Friday. Maybe Friday.
After work?
Roll in.
Or you're not working
Friday? I'm not sure I'm going to work Friday. I'll let you guys know.
Why?
I don't know. You know.
You're exhausted from 3 days of work?
I know. But you know the equation. 1 week's vacation equals one really positive, energetic day of work.
No, you're right. There's no question. Usually
need 2 weeks is 2 days.
I usually need a day or two to kind of decompress from the decompression of vacation.
By the way, do you go into a formal event tonight because you're all dressed up?
I am.
I saw you in the parking lot.
I got no sleep last night.
Okay,
Dog had me outside at 12 and 1,
really?
And then I had a doctor's appointment at 6:30.
How'd that go? Everything was all right?
Let's get physical.
Yeah.
It's it's the most uncomfortable 25 seconds of your life every once a year.
Did you get the Howie Mandel glove as a souvenir? Bring that home?
I did not. No.
Put it on your head and blow it up?
I did not. No.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, you looked like a drifter who stole a car.
I saw you
in the parking lot.
Yeah, I was like with face down.
We did a close up for our promo video.
I saw it today. It scared me.
Because of the blue eyes. You know, we Coach
Behind
Q.
Behind blue eyes.
Listen, let me let some people in, okay? I'm almost 50.
No one knows what it's like.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
To be the bad
I'm almost 53 years old. You know, I wasn't blessed with your olive skin, okay? I got a ruddy complexion, and when you get a camera real close to it, you know what I mean? Look, I'm not. If I'm made up with some makeup, it may look different. If not, stick it. I don't care.
He's like the Edens. So you're going to go through some potholes.
That's right.
I think you're a handsome man.
Rugged.
You're rugged, but you look much younger than you are.
See? Thank you.
You look like a kid.
You just don't want the camera right up in your face.
Right. Nobody does.
No.
But I got hair coming out of my nose and ears.
So do
you don't want it.
Constantly shaving.
Hey,
constantly.
Wait a second. Before we move on to really important things, I said that when you came in, we were going to play a quick game of word association.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say these words. You tell me the first thing comes to your mind, okay?
Oh, no.
Milton Berle.
Pulled out just enough to win. Thank you very much. Right? Am I right?
I think that's what
we're
looking for.
Yeah, you are, indirectly. I mean, we didn't know what you were going to say, but...
For the rest of our audience, can I explain what that reference is?
Well, keep it clean.
I'll do it clean.
Yeah.
Milton Berle, pioneer of television.
Yes, okay? Was one of the eras, his era's greatest entertainers.
The Milton Berle show on in the 1950s and everything else, a comedian, variety show guy, but he was always on these roasts. All the celebrities are roasting one another. So they're all sitting at the dais... And they're having a...
Careful.
Careful. They're having a manhood measuring contest under the table.
Really?
Is that okay?
So that's where that all comes from.
Yeah, and he said, I pulled out just enough to win. Forrest Tucker was supposed to be... there was like three or four guys in Hollywood who had a reputation of being tripods. So,
All right. That's enough.
Now we move on. What's the next word?
Right, well, what about Q last night? What'd you think?
Pum, 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 pum. Q ovation controversy continues. You know, look, I've been in television for a long time, boys.
Yeah?
And I've been the victim and the subject
of
many technical mistakes. Yeah. And Sylvie, you know how well I handle technical mistakes.
Not well.
I'm so professional and classy about it. How could this happen?
Well,
the simplest thing.
Yeah, that's what
Who's responsible?
Well, look.
Okay. It's kind of dicey. So NBC Sports Chicago, I'm not ripping you because I understand. I understand how it happens. But it should never happen, especially for somebody like this. Should be special, should be rehearsed, should be thought out. Director, producer, you have a rundown. The show is timed. You know your commercial breaks. So it
You've was had months to get this.
You had months to get it right. It's dicey because you can't go back-to-back with Kaner and Q. You have to honor Kane pregame for his milestone. Then they decide they're going to honor Q in a timeout during the first period.
But the radio didn't miss it, and the Florida television
I know. And to their credit, even though it was too late, at 10:35 in the postgame, they ran the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they upcut the hell out of it, joined it in progress. That was a mess. Now, I know management's going to say, we're not going to drop commercials because that's money. But in this case, they should have. They should have bailed and done a make-good. Because, you know, if you mess up a commercial or something, like when I screw up one of your live reads, they get a makeup.
Which is, quite frequent.
Yeah, so they should have bailed and...
Our buddy Kevin Cross, who is the general manager and executive vice president of NBC Sports Chicago, released a statement and took the, you know, he said, listen, this is our fault and I'm in charge, so it's
there
on
you go.
Me.
So,
well, and I are going to come up with a TV show. It's called Allegedly.
Yes.
And this is
Sylvie's greatest idea of all time.
And it's just going to be us talking about like controversies and little conspiracy theories.
You can say anything you want as long as you preface it with allegedly.
So we were saying, allegedly, all of a sudden the network that has ownership stake from the Blackhawks in it misses that. Allegedly, this song isn't the best song to pay tribute to. You're the madman, the bad man, you're the sad man.
No one knows what I thought, like,
wasn't the story was that his wife Elizabeth picked this song?
Allegedly.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then, oh, by the way, Patrick Sharp, a guy who played for Q's all three teams, he's on vacation all of a sudden in that game.
So is Adam
Burris in Aspen when the whole bye week is now this week?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this version of Allegedly.
And Allegedly.
So you're saying that Sharp and Burris had a bone to pick with Q?
No, we're saying that maybe they were sent away on vacation.
Ooh.
Wow. Rockies.
I like
ski
that
lodge.
One. I love the one on Twitter. It says Old Man Bowman's behind this.
Yeah.
I like that.
And did you see the post-game video where then all of a sudden it's Q outside the locker room with Dale Talon, and it's Taves, Kane, Keith, and Seabrook sharing stories together.
Yep, we got a good shot of that.
And then you hear the PR guy like four times say, guys, you got to clear the hallway. Guys, you got to clear the hallway.
Yes.
Here's this organic
Hall of Fame moment here.
People have to realize this happens to us all the time.
And then you would fire your cameraman if he cleared the hallway during that moment.
You got PR people just trying to herd you around, try to control the situation. Once again, control the brand, control the situation. Don't let the media get too close. That is a Hall of Fame moment. That is a wonderful moment when they're all standing around. They didn't even take a shower and got dressed. Throw on a hat and a hoodie right after the game, come right out. They don't want to miss Q. It was so cool to see Dale Talon there, one of my all-time favorite guys. Yeah, you've got them all there. And they're trying to discourage you and trying to sabotage you from getting that shot while they got a great shot and posted it on the Blackhawks website.
Because they want to manage the
they
message.
They want to manage it.
Sylvie had a great idea. I already pitched it to NBC Sports Chicago, and they already killed it 50 seconds into this suggestion.
Well, we'll shop it around.
Okay. But it's called Allegedly, where we basically ruin our reputation in this city.
Put a disclaimer up. None of the things that they're preaching reflect the opinions of people here at this television station.
Real small, so you can barely see it.
Right.
Yeah.
For entertainment purposes only.
We'll put that right after Outsiders.
On HBO?
No.
That's The Outsider.
The Outsider.
They have a show.
Oh, you're talking about Bulls Outsiders. Outsiders, the Cubs Outsiders.
They have three fans, Cubs. You know, they do all that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, do they pay those guys?
I would think.
I think so.
They're pretty good.
I like those guys. Is that in lieu of paying actual talent?
I don't know. I don't think that's the case.
It's not very nice, Mark.
But, you know, I know a lot of guys who are out of work who are really good.
I think this is a way to identify with a younger fan. Like, these guys have some juice on Twitter and blogs and stuff like that. These are guys who...
I get the whole thing. I get it. You don't have to like
allegedly,
it. Allegedly, but I get it.
Allegedly. Half-hour segments, once a week. That's we could dive asking. Into different... What would be your top pitch suggestion for us if Sylvia and I, first show, allegedly, what are we doing?
Well, I think... You have to keep flashing a big font, a big graphic.
It says allegedly.
It says allegedly every time.
We make a statement.
You make a statement. That's got to be...
Like, what Chicago sports conspiracy... Like I said, the one that I can't wait to tackle is Michael Jordan was only playing minor league baseball because he was really had an... it was a suspension that they kept on the down low.
Allegedly.
For gambling.
Right.
Yes. Allegedly.
Well, that's, of course...
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's what we all thought from day one.
Allegedly.
Right. Exactly. Oof. See?
See?
Maybe I mean, put a little sting in there. Like
Kevin Cross wanted no part of the show.
None. Really?
Do you think Idler would like to? The three of us could do it. We can share the blame.
I would not be a part of that. I can guarantee you. I would not be allowed to be a part of that.
Why?
Because I just make stuff up.
Well, that's what the point of the show is.
Allegedly.
I know, but I mean, I would go way
Or you'd go opposite and just start telling stuff that's real that we've been wondering
exactly.
about.
That's what I was going to go with just now. I was going to tell behind-the-scenes stories that you should never tell.
Okay?
But then you
like
have
to
guess.
Like a pull back the curtain.
True
we
or
could
false.
Have a pull back the curtain segment. If I drop my pants, a curtain opens, and then it's like,
no, thanks.
Hey, this is what happened.
That we needs were, to be on radio
This
only.
Is what happened at the NBA Finals in 1990. We could do that.
You should tell
like
us.
All
do you
stuff.
Have a story
well,
that you
I
can
have
share?
So many.
All right, well, pick one. Share one with the listeners next. I also
no,
want...
No, I can't.
The NCAA has ruled on the suspension for the Kansas brawl.
Wasn't enough.
We'll tell you about that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
On ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
A huge brawl yesterday at the end of the Kansas State game.
Horrifying, scary, disgusting.
It really was.
Into the handicapped section of the crowd behind the basket.
And Silvio D'Souza was the guy involved the most from Kansas.
He's already under investigation for taking money, isn't he?
Well, it was something that
there's
they
something
made.
There.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. The AD and Bill Self had to fight to get him eligible for this
it's
year.
It's Kansas, okay?
Wow.
You're
going
to have the best
you
line. Hey, indefinite suspension. Now he gets 12 games from the Big 12. The worst suspension, as Yurko put it best, is make him go to class. But he probably wouldn't be able to find the building on campus, okay?
Do they have buildings
I don't know.
On campus?
They have.
Except
they're all made out
field
of
house?
Rock wow. chalk.
Danny Zetterman, who listens in the 5 o'clock hour, is probably beside himself right now.
He was very down on his program. Yeah. Most Kansas people, this is like, and they usually love to blame everybody. You know, it's always the referee's fault or this happened. Like they at least wore it. And Danny
listen,
said that
know,
today
there
too.
There are a million kids from Chicago who go to Kansas. They have a great time. You know, it's because they couldn't get into Iowa, I guess.
It is a beautiful campus. A lot of my friends went to Kansas.
I know. It's a party school. I know what a party school is. By the way, Dayton St. Bonaventure tonight.
Really?
Flyers.
What are they? What? Is it,
Flyers are ranked.
Is
Come
it
on.
Volleyball?
Pay attention.
Volleyball?
Hey, listen. It's 2:20. I'm upstairs on the 7th floor doing a little business.
What?
I mean,
what
in the office, not in
wait
the bathroom.
Wait a second. Time out.
No, I had to go up to the 7th
okay,
floor.
Okay, so it's 2:20 in the afternoon.
Which is your
You're
office.
On the 7th floor doing a little business.
I'm talking to Annabelle about
okay,
stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay, just
okay.
a little good karma.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, signing
gotcha.
Some
in
stuff.
The I didn't know if
no,
you...
No, not in the bathroom. So I hear you talking hockey.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to tell you, I didn't see much up the third period. That
That's
power
right.
play was...
Oh, they were moving the puck.
Hey, and that Kane goal, that
yeah.
was dirty.
Yeah,
filthy.
It wasn't dirty. No, that's not a dirty goal. That's a.
You said it was filthy.
It was filthy.
There's a difference between dirty and
goal
and a
dirty
filthy
dirty
goal.
In the
yeah.
crease.
Yeah.
Filthy is
filthy
like unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah.
Short
and you're
side.
Like, hey, they're moving that puck.
Yeah, they were moving
hey.
It. lot
you
of
were
puck
awesome,
movement.
Man.
I was.
I'm like,
thank
wow.
you. Thank you, everybody. I said earlier was the best period of hockey I've seen all year in the 2020 right. calendar
man.
Season.
Okay. It'll be the only period you see through
so
the
far.
Entire year.
Well,
no,
there, was, there were two games last year where we got in on. Like, they were on their roll in March,
yeah.
and they were maybe
Gee.
Making it a season.
And they pooped
and
all over the ice.
Right. Nice to jump on the bandwagon.
We jumped on. We talked hockey. They pooped on the ice, and the season was over.
Right.
We were out after two games.
So we figure it's best for from a civic standpoint,
right.
for all of the Blackhawk fans, if we just stay on the periphery.
You heard about the right. Kansas fan and the Kansas City Chiefs fan, haven't you?
Yeah.
So this Kansas City Chiefs fan went to the game. He he knew he was bad luck for the team, and this was not this last game. It was the game though before that against the Texans, and. They fall 24-0. They're down 24-0 to the Texans. This guy has always considered himself the bad luck charm. So he leaves the stadium. And by the time he gets home, where he should be, the Chiefs are up. And he was tweeting about it, and he said, thank you, Chief. We're like that for the Hawks.
Yeah, I get
it. The more hockey we talk, the worse they do.
It's like
so
all those fans.
We're doing everybody a favor.
Like all those fans who left the stadium for the Oilers, Bills, greatest comeback in NFL history. They tried
Shame
to get, turn around and get back in the stadium.
The Heat game in the NBA Finals,
yes.
the same thing happened.
Same thing.
They tried to get back in.
So after Allegedly, which will air, let's make it like it's 6. So it's not too late.
Okay.
And then at 7, it's Just Kidding.
How about that? Where we apologize for,
right,
the, for,
right,
mo-
right.
for the
It was
program
just all
for
a joke. Yeah. We were just entertaining
yeah.
ourselves.
My bad.
My bad.
My
There's
bad.
Another one.
Yeah. That comes on at 11. If the apology in the 7 o'clock hour wasn't sufficient, then
could,
we come back at 11 and we
like
apologize
the,
again.
Like the old Saturday Night Live bit, you know? What's all this controversy about racehorses? That's resources, you know? That whole thing.
It's good.
You're going to do a little commentary about
it. Oh, I gotcha.
You get it completely wrong, and then
right,
they correct
gotcha.
You at the end.
Gotcha.
There it is.
What about Derek Jeter, the voter?
Did we find out who the guy
no,
was?
No, I can't wait to find. He's going to have a dumb excuse.
He will. Well, ESPN's Tim Kirchen had a great explanation. He said a lot of writers and a lot of people who had votes, they hold that vote for somebody they want to keep on the ballot for later. And Kirchen, to his credit, said, I would never do that. That is the lamest thing in the world. But a lot of guys do that where they save their vote to keep a guy on the ballot for another couple of years,
You're
hoping he's going
to
get
out. To Derek Jeter.
Right.
I know what
exactly.
The-
he's the greatest, 100%. Done.
Why do it's they like- limit to only 10 votes? Why can't they vote for as many as you want? Because if they are a Hall of Famer, yes.
They have to change this. Look, it's going to get better because you have younger people who are getting votes now. Younger people in the media.
Right.
Like these old burned out, crusty curmudgeons from 100 years ago who have been voting forever.
Allegedly.
If some player disses them one day, boom, they're out. They hold a grudge. And then there are players who have votes who get in the Hall of Fame. If you're a Hall of Famer.
Like Joe Morgan's always
and
probably
Joe Morgan
not voting for
doesn't
anybody.
Want anybody else in because he wants it to be a more exclusive club. And he's like, I don't want any more second baseman in.
I love Dan Graziano. Did you know this, guys? Dan Graziano is great. He's a great football reporter.
Yes,
he's
he
covered
is.
Every moment of the Dak Prescott negotiation, he's all over. Do you know he votes for the Hall of Fame?
The Baseball
because,
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, because way back in the day, he used to cover baseball. Now he's covering the Cowboys. He's covering the 49ers. And he's telling people who, like, I don't think...
Right.
I mean, well, come on now. You did it in the past. You don't do it anymore. You may have covered some of these guys, but you should get a vote. And that's not to disparage Dan Graziano.
No, but to be fair, though, he wouldn't have the biases against these players that a lot of the writers do.
But he might not be following the careers of these people.
That's true.
There it is.
I just think it's a simple yes or no question.
Yeah.
Is this guy, if you guys want to argue about the merits of Larry Walker's career, whether it's Hall of Fame worthy, I get it. If you vote no and you vote yes, I get that.
Why was Ken Griffey Jr.
Why was Ken Griffey Jr. not unanimous about it?
There should have been
right.
so many unanimous
right, but you
ones.
Can't vote guys now no strictly because Ken Griffey wasn't unanimous. Do you know what I mean? Like, Wilbon tried to rationalize that. That, hey, Willie Mays wasn't unanimous, so I'm cool that
right.
someone voted
You just have to start clean
Peter.
And say, sorry, look, you're
yes.
in... But now we're going to do it right.
The right way.
So there might be a lot of unanimous guys. I hope you understand.
And that should have gone out the window as soon as Mariano Rivera went in unanimously.
Yes.
That bridge has now been crossed.
Right. That broke through the
curtain. It's just silly.
We got to roll because we got Notre Dame basketball coming up next. Good game against Syracuse. Jonathan Hood live and local after the game. Marquee, as always, is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Yes. You may see him there on Friday.
I got a lot of stories.
LaSalle in the River, David Flom and Maddie Moore are going to hook you up like you're a celebrity. Yeah. You're going to have steak. You're going to have wine. You're going to have appetizers.
It's going to be delightful.
Unbelievable desserts,
gonna
sides.
You're going to have fun, mostly.
Dan Dockage, thank you to him, Michael Wilbon,
99.9%.
And Mark Jean Greco as well. Great job today by Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah.
It was a good time, allegedly.
Yes, exactly.
My bad.
Just kidding.
For Marquee and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000.
I'm so sorry. I'd like to apologize to everybody for everything.
Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.
Michael Wilbon joins Waddle and Sylvie Wednesday afternoon at 5 for the ride home.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.